I can't believe you don't want to go to your own son's graduation.
It's not a graduation. He is moving from the fourth grade to the fifth grade.
It's a ceremony.
It's psychotic. They keep creating new ways to celebrate mediocrity, but if someone is genuinely exceptional,
then not about you, Bob. This is about Dash.
You want to do something for Dash? Then let him actually compete. Let him go out for sports. It'd be great!
And that's from the movie The Incredibles, a really cute movie. And I love that line, let him compete. You know, we reward kids for the most minor things and we just make a mockery of rewards. You know, my kid's graduating XYZ, you know, it's so small as opposed to in my day and age, I'm showing you my age now, but you would graduate from high school. I mean, that was the big one. Yeah, you'd graduate, you would transition from middle high school, but there wasn't a big to-do about kindergarten and preschool and everything else. It's wonderful to celebrate our kids. They need to gain a sense of proportion. And when they earn the success, man, you can hug them, you can celebrate with them, but don't take away their joy. Don't say, oh, I am so proud of you. Their focus will then be on you. Oh, I'm pleasing mom. As opposed to, oh, you must feel so proud of yourself. A much better way to handle it. You leave the pride where it belongs, with the kid feeling pride in himself for what he's accomplished, in him or herself. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and my show is The Rational Basis of Happiness, an opportunity for you to call in and ask any questions you'd ask a counselor or a therapist. And although it's not therapy, it's an opportunity for you to get some advice from me. I'm a clinical psychologist, and you can go to my website, drkenner.com. You can always call me. You can jot down the number and call me later if you are thinking of a question. Toll free, 1-877-DRKENNER. That's toll free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. And I want to welcome Nora to the show. Nora, you're wondering whether you should drive again at the age of 80?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, tell me what's going on.
Well, there for about 2.5 years ago, I don't know why, but I just got afraid. I didn't trust myself. And I was reading about ladies my age sometimes in wrecks and different things, and I thought,
right.
Well, I know your mind wanders and
right.
Not as quick as you used to be.
Yeah,
but I can get around. I'm a young 80 or 79. I'll soon be 80.
Yeah,
and I'd like to get out and go and do things.
Yeah,
and I can't do it all the time because it's not always available for me. The car isn't.
Okay, whose car is it?
Well, I bought the car, and then I gave it to my husband. But I can still drive it anytime I want to, but I just haven't wanted to drive.
Okay, so you're trying to weigh the safety issues, and right now, because you're a young 78, you're a young 80, right?
Yes.
You're feeling that, man, you know, there should be no reason why I can, you know, it's not like my doctor told me you don't have any eyesight anymore, or you're at risk of a stroke, or whatever else you had heard, you know, some of the horror stories.
Yes.
Someone just losing focus for a minute or being a little slower on the brake, you know, and you're thinking, yeah, those situations can happen, but they don't seem to apply to me because I'm a young 80. And yet because I had the fear for 2 years, and you gave into the fear for 2 years, didn't you?
Yes, I sure did. And I hated it all the time, but I just couldn't get over that. I even dreamed I was in a car wreck and killed 5 people and was going to prison, and that really scared me.
Okay, so I love that you're cautious, because I think too many people, as they're aging and going through natural slowing down processes, they hold on to that bravado, I can drive, don't take my car away from me. And I think you're on the other end of things where you're being wonderfully cautious, and you know, nobody can predict for sure. I mean, I could have a stroke tomorrow and I'm a bit younger. Or I could be picking up my coffee, you know, to drink it, and something could happen. I don't text in the car. I'm very, very careful. And I was in an accident where my car was totaled, Nora. I didn't kill anybody. Nobody was hurt. Nobody went to the hospital. But it shook me up so much that my driving changed dramatically for the better.
Yes.
It took the edge off my driving. I will let people I'm a much more generous driver now. If I'm driving and I miss the exit, oh well, at least I wasn't in an accident. I'll turn around, I'll be a half hour late, or I'll miss that appointment. Oh well, I'm alive. It's like, it changed.
See, I never would even answer my cell phone when I was driving. I would let it ring.
Yeah, that's great.
I pulled off. I thought I was pretty cautious myself, but I did have a couple little fender benders that.
Oh, when?
What scared me.
Yeah, when were the fender benders? How old were you?
2.5, 3 years ago.
Oh, it's about the same time frame.
Yeah, that's why I quit, I think.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Uh-huh.
And what happened?
Nothing serious. Nobody got hurt or anything. It's just negligence on my part, I guess. I took the blame for all of them anyway.
Okay, and I love your honesty. I love your integrity there. I took the blame for my accident, too. So here's what you need to do. I would first get a checkout with your routine doctor. If he says that you are good to go, there is nothing wrong, then it's psychological. I would also ask, do you have kids?
Well, they're all growing. I have 3 daughters, but they're all growing. My youngest one's 41.
Yeah, but they're still your kids. You can ask them, was I a good driver when I was 76 years old?
Yeah.
If they say you were a good driver and they give you feedback, don't worry about it, Mom. You know, it's just a fender bender twice. And if you use it the way I did as a wake-up call, then certainly.
Absolutely.
Then you can drive. I've used it as a wake-up call. You could also choose times of day to drive that are safer. For example, maybe you give up a little bit of the nighttime driving. You know, have someone
drive after night anyway. Even before that, I couldn't see very well. I mean, after night confused me.
Okay.
I'm a diabetic. I'm not on insulin or anything like that, though.
Okay.
I thought about taking this driving course again.
Oh, that would be absolutely phenomenal. I wish I had thought of that. I think if you took a brush-up driver's course, or even if you got private lessons for yourself, maybe your kids could give you that as a gift. And then with your teacher, go over how you went through the fender bender and what you would do differently. I would review those 2 accidents with your instructor.
Uh-huh.
So that you regain the confidence and you know that you know how to handle those 2. You know,
yes.
If it's at an intersection, and just get, you know, a clearing, because you're a diabetic, I would definitely just run it by your doctor too. And I would give your kids permission to have the channel open so that if any of them, or your husband, feels a little unsafe driving with you, they share it with you. If it's something that's correctable, if it's something that you could just take a brush-up class or a few classes, you know, maybe a private class even with a driver's ed person, or you go to the AAA if you belong to that and take some classes, you will put yourself in charge. You will feel good. And when you're ready to give it, when you feel like you are a hazard on the road, I wouldn't wait. I would just take the money that you would spend for gas, put it in an account, and guess what you do with that money?
I don't know.
Okay. If I can't drive anymore, let's say that I'm 86 and I shouldn't be driving anymore because I slow down. I want to take the money that I would pay for gas, and gas isn't cheap anymore. To fill it up, it's $50 a tank. I'm going to put that $50 maybe twice a week or once a week, however much I drove, put it in an account for myself, and I can take a cab anytime I want.
Well, see, I wasn't even thinking cab. You're right. Well, I would like to start. I live in South Parkersburg. I'm not a busy, is not the busiest end of town, and I thought if I just drove around South Parkersburg for a while, not take off into town.
You can pick safer routes. You don't have to do the freeway if you don't want to. But I love the idea of, before you do any of this, because you tortured yourself with a nightmare, I would definitely take that course. If you belong to the AAA Association or some local association, or just jump onto a course, for people who are a little older and driving, and you will give yourself the best gift. You'll build confidence. Listen, thank you so much for your call, Nora. And I wish you some very safe and happy driving.
Thank you, Dr. Kanner, and thank you for your advice. That's what I called for.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kanner.
A romantic partner to avoid is someone who tries to fake their self-esteem by using defense values. People may use values that they possess or aspire to as substitutes for genuine self-esteem and to cover up self-doubt. Examples are money, looks, intelligence, popularity, fancy clothes, expensive cars, large homes in wealthy neighborhoods, social status, and sexual conquest. Not all these values are necessarily irrational. The problem is that they are held compulsively and even desperately. An expensive car can give you pleasure, but not if you just want to own it to show off. You are still the same person with or without the car. Whether others approve of you or not does not change who you are.
You can download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.